Thanks, Arianne. I've just decided that I'm going to borrow that slide of her kids and just put it at the front of every one of my presentations, and then everybody would be like, oh, that's great, and they'll like everything I say afterwards. So bring on the kids. We'll just start with the no relationships to disclose, which I think is the oddest term ever. Recommendations for responsible food marketing to children is mainly what I'm going to focus on, and Arianne, I think, gave you a really nice summary of why these recommendations were developed. Just to sort of reiterate, these are not nutrition guidelines, because we felt that there was actually a fair amount of work that the Children's Food and Beverage Advertising Initiative had done to sort of address some of the nutrition loopholes that were there before. There's still work to be done on that space, but our recommendations for responsible food marketing really deal with the other marketing environment, sort of much of what Arianne showed you with a day in the life or a few weeks in the life of her kids. So I'm going to focus mainly on some of the key recommendations. Our expert panel recommendations really kind of fell out into four main areas. Now, I can't get into major detail, so I'm going to try to distill sort of the major themes that we came up with. I would urge you, there are a couple copies over here on the table, but I'd also urge you to just download them. It's super easy. Just go to Healthy Eating Research and type in responsible food marketing, and I'm sure it'll pop up. But basically, there are 10 pages of recommendations, so there's a lot of detail there, a lot of rationale, a lot of sort of analysis as to how we came up with our recommendations that I won't be able to get into. But a few key points that I think will be worth highlighting today. We looked at quantitative measures, both in terms of the age of the audience and how companies now pretty much define what's a child, as well as the audience share. We looked at qualitative measures. What are the strategies and techniques that companies are using? And then one step beyond that, what are some of the other qualitative features, like smiling boxes and that kind of thing? What are some of the qualitative characteristics? We looked at different media platforms. The traditional media in terms of print, radio, and TV are still the bulk of advertising dollars, but we also know there's a growing trend in a number of other areas. So we really sort of looked at expanding the definition of what constitutes sort of the platform. And we also looked at child-directed content in other venues like schools, child care centers, et cetera. So in terms of the child audience, the current age range that companies sort of view as children is 2 to 11. But when we looked at the research, there actually is a growing body of evidence that that's showing that older kids are just as vulnerable and really uniquely impressionable in terms of marketing. And in fact, there's like a trifecta going on with kids that are a little bit older than 11, and that is that they're more independent. Any of us who have had teens know that they're, in some respects, independent, in some respects, biggest babies ever, but they are actually more independent in terms of really outside of the sight of Arianne's three adorable kids. They're also disproportionately targeted by companies. We do see an increased amount of dollars being spent on kids over the age of 11. And we also know that they are high users of media, much more so than the younger kids. So we have these three sort of things going on that really show us that right now the marketing standards that are in place that companies, generally companies abide by, aren't strong enough, and they're not really capturing the media that's going on out there. And in terms of another sort of quantitative area we looked at, it's basically the audience, the percent of kids in the audience that are viewing a particular show. So currently, most companies that are part of the Children's Food and Beverage Advertising Initiative define advertising as primarily directed to kids if the TV, print, or radio, or third-party website constitutes at least 35% of the expected audience. So 2 to 11-year-olds, 35% or more of them, if they're watching a show, that's considered child-directed. Companies have said we're only going to advertise or promote those items that meet certain criteria. But we also know that this doesn't adequately protect kids from the majority of marketing. In fact, less than half of what they see in terms of food and beverage marketing is covered using that quantitative level. So what the expert panel recommended was that both in terms of the age and the audience, we recommended that they both be strengthened. So child-directed marketing, we recommended, should be marketing that targets children from birth through age 14. So basically bumping up that 11-year-old to the 14-year-old, because we know they are even more vulnerable than the 11-year-olds. Audience children should constitute 25% or more. So we decrease the percentage, which actually is a stronger threshold, so fewer kids need to watch a show, but that would actually capture a number of sort of key programs that we know young kids are watching. Nick at Night, I showed the logo a little bit earlier. While it sounds like, oh, Nick at Night, that must be really adult-oriented shows, it's not. And even on their website, they say, we gear our shows towards 8 to 15-year-olds. So it's things like Full House and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It's a little bit beyond my kids' age, but they're very, very appealing to kids. Even today, a lot of them watch, Margot's daughter watches reruns of Full House all the time, I hear. So we really do feel like that's an area that's a loophole. And then in terms of qualitative measures, we looked at marketing strategies and techniques like what's going on in terms of brand advertising and marketing, character licensing and cross promotions, toy premiums, all these different ways that companies use to really connect kids to the food item and honestly to a brand as well. And I think this picture kind of sums it up. You have the smiling box, you have the Minion toys, you have probably the chicken nuggets in the shape of a dinosaur or something. So you have so many things going on in this ad that really focus more on McDonald's and the toy versus the actual food item. So I'm going to talk a little bit about brand advertising and marketing because that's an area we spend a fair amount of time discussing. We know that brand marketing impacts kids, and kids' choices and preferences are significantly impacted by brand marketing. And we also know that the brand knowledge is higher for unhealthy foods. Can anybody guess what the number one brand is among 6 to 12-year-olds, what brand they recognize the most? Anybody want to guess? Oreos. Number one among kids is Oreos. It doesn't meet nutrition standards, so it's technically not marketed on kid programming. That's 35%, 2 to 11-year-old. Number one brand recognition item that just bumped up in 2015. It's number three among moms, so they're certainly hitting their target on both fronts, more so on the kid front. So we looked at, currently nutrition standards only apply to products that are pictured in media ads, so a specific kid's meal or a token Lunchable that meets nutrition standards is basically what you're allowed to show perhaps on the TV show. But what we also know is many ads and marketing efforts focus more on the brand with maybe a fleeting image of a product that might meet nutrition criteria. So what a kid might see on a TV ad is the one Lunchable. I think there are five of the about 30 that Kraft make that meet nutrition standards. They might see that one on the ad and it has the smoothie, of course there are those Oreos, I guess they just slipped in right underneath the sugar and the fat standard, but they have the smoothie, they have the sandwich, and that might meet the criteria, but when they get into the grocery store, what they get is really bombarded with the majority of other Lunchables that don't meet the standard, and oftentimes the healthy ones, and I looked, you kind of have to dig deep, you got to find them, they're either way up high or they're way, you know, sunken below all the other ones. So it's just sort of a mixed message. There's much more branding going on than there is actually the promotion of the food product. So what we recommended in terms of brand advertising and marketing is that brands that are marketed to kids should only contain foods that meet the nutrition criteria. So in other words, if Kraft is going to promote Lunchables and be more focused on the brand than they are on the Lunchable itself, every one of their 27 Lunchables should meet the standards so that there's no confusion. If, on the other hand, they want to focus on those token few healthy ones, then that should be the prominent feature in the ad. It should be really clear that that is the Lunchable that the kids should go for. Right now, that's not the case. We also looked at some other qualitative characteristics. This gets a little murkier and in the gray zone, but we looked at a lot of what Ariane sort of presented in the slides. Foods that feature fun objects, animals, animation, that promote licensed or brand mascots, whether it's Tony the Tiger or Dora the Explorer. Items that contain really interactive content, like games that you play and that are clearly directed towards kids. Feature celebrities, appeal to kids in other ways. Games with Oreos, or how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll one. These are very interactive and they're very engaging to kids, and they fall out of the scope of what current marketing practices or current marketing practices that are part of the self-regulatory environment. And we know these qualitative characteristics, they're not considered when determining if something is child-directed. And many marketing strategies and techniques are very appealing to kids. The retail marketing is probably one of the best examples. You walk through the retail space and you can see there are crazy creatures on every can or box imaginable. The Twinkies with the Shrek and the pink cream in between, it just looks so amazingly awful. And characters all over all the boxes. This totally falls outside of the scope of current marketing practices in terms of the self-regulatory. So we really do feel like these qualitative characteristics need to be considered and brought into the mix. Our recommendation is that if marketing utilizes strategies or techniques or has qualitative characteristics that are appealing to kids, regardless of the media platform or the venue, whether it's in the grocery store, whether it's in school, et cetera, that it really should be considered child-directed. And of course, application is going to vary depending on the venue and the context. We also, again, not being able to go into much detail, I just want you to know that we did look at the media platforms and the venues in a fair amount of detail. So as Ariane said, that television, radio, and print are still the predominant venue in which marketers are getting their products out there, there's a growing area, digital marketing, and a number of other areas that are growing that we really want to make sure that the self-regulatory programs keeps up to pace with a lot of the media things that are coming out there. So we have recommendations in there regarding expanding the digital platform. It's not bad now, actually, but we feel like there's a lot of progress in that space technologically that we want to make sure food companies stay up to date with, sort of making sure they're not targeting kids. Third-party websites, text, email, social media, geolocation ads, walking in front of McDonald's and all of a sudden, ooh, up pops that coupon for whatever, that sort of geolocation. We feel that that's an area that's expanding that we really want to kind of get ahead of. And then we also looked at venues. Margo's going to talk a little bit about some of the opportunities in schools. There are some marketing standards in place with elementary schools. There's a huge loophole with middle and high schools. Other child-directed venues, boys and girls clubs, recreation facilities, child-focused healthcare facilities. We have recommendations for all of those areas. So the four key takeaways, there's a lot of information I presented, but the four key takeaways in terms of what are the four main points we hope you get out of the marketing recommendations that we made. We really want the child audience age range to increase to an including 14-year-olds, because that 12 to 14-year-old group is really vulnerable. They're overexposed to media, and we know they're much more independent. Child-directed, let's change that percentage. Instead of 35% down to 25%, some companies have already done that, but would like to see all of them sort of adopt that. Marketing that's appealing to kids is child-directed, regardless of where the venue or the platform is. And then brands marketed to kids should contain only products that meet the nutrition criteria. Those are the four main takeaways. So if we can solve that in the next few months, we'll be really, really few years. But we know Margo and Ariane and others are going to help with that. So with that, I urge you to download the document, pick it up over there, and I'll turn it over to Margo. Thank you.